Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a great show today. You know, so many people have reached out to me at .com Magazine and they say, Jake, listen, we love it when you bring in the worldwide leaders in their respective spaces. And so many people reached out and they said, Jake, we have an idea, but we're not exactly sure how to get it to market. We're not exactly sure how to develop it, how to source it, how to really manufacture it. You know, we have this great idea. We don't want to tell anybody about it but you, Andy, but how do we take it from point A to Z? So I get so many of these calls and so many of these emails. I decided to reach out to really one of America's leading experts, Mr. Rex Mong. And Rex is the founder and CEO of Invent. And he's a real product development expert. And he has a creative approach to the way in which he develops and sources and manufactures ideas, your ideas that you can bring to life through Rex's company. It's a great business. I'm so excited. Rex, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. I have so many questions. Let's get right to it. But as you know, we've become famous for the 30,000 feet question. So let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet. Tell us about Invent, and then we're going to get into it.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. So we are primarily a product lifecycle development company. So we help to take product concepts from start to finish. And really, we can go at any point in the lifecycle. So some companies will have, assets already created, designs, and they just kind of want us to develop and engineer it, cost it, all that kind of stuff. So we can start from any of that process in the cycle. We found that a lot of people do come to us typically in the beginning where they have a concept, and I would say a good chunk is either they don't have designs yet or they already do. And then we just kind of take it from there. We work together. It's either to get better costing or some things couldn't be done from prior suppliers that they had, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially that is what our company does. So if anyone has like a product idea or if they have, you know, something they want us to develop, et cetera, we come in and we kind of help and we take it from start to finish or wherever they need us to go.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Rex. Of course, everybody has an idea. And like what I like to say is 1,000 people wake up with an idea, and by lunchtime, yeah, you know, 999 of them have forgotten the idea, but that one person still has that idea, and it's a great
idea. Right.
What does that first phone call sound like when someone calls Invent? I mean, how does that conversation sound? How do you start formulating a plan from the jump start?
That's a good question. Usually what it sounds like is they're really excited. So there's kind of like a little bit of optimism, skepticism, concern, unsure, excitement, all kind of bottled up together. So usually the first call starts out with, hey, like you said, I have this idea. Can you help me? So we walk through it, we talk through it, and we try to tell them off the bat what can be done, what can't be done. But usually we work really hard to make sure that we can try to, you know, achieve what they want to the best within cost and feasibility. And at the same time, if we can't, then we try to tell them up front. But most of the time, you know, we work really hard to try to make it happen.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Now, there's so many different types of products, right? So there's products for consumers, products for manufacturing, B2B, B2C, just to sort of touch on it, technology products. What products do you have a specialty in, or is it your specialty is any product, just taking it through the sort of process to get it out into the world?
Yeah, great question. My background started actually in toys and collectibles. I was a toy industry person for a long time, baby products too. So we were making stuff for like Colecraft, all the way up to MGA's products, MGA Entertainment, to Razer, and most recently Disney. So we do a lot of toys and collectibles. That has been our expertise. But we found that as we've gotten requests for other types of products, and we actually took the time to engineer them and work with our engineers and factories and who have, you know, really the expertise in these areas, we found that we were able to develop a large chunk of some of these products. And some of these, other than toys, are even as complicated as power tools. We're working on like a power tool company confidential, of course, but they're working on a power tool that at the time, I think they're like maybe a fifth or sixth generation American company, now trying to revolutionize or revitalize the industry from their brand, who would, you know, which they were the first movers at the time. So it's really exciting. We found that a lot of products, even though they on the outside look different, of course, they have different functions. I mean, you and I know toys are different from a hardware tool. The engineering of it is not too far off. And I don't want to discredit, you know, power tool lovers out there. There are, of course, a lot more engineering versus a toy. But when you really dig deep into it, you really find that you can engineer some of these things. And there's a lot of similarities between products of, you know, material properties and all that stuff.
I love it, Rex. Of course, you have so many of these wonderful products on your website. Everybody loves what you do. Some of the brands you've worked with are absolutely world-class. Now, Rex, let's talk about it. So somebody has an idea, they come to you. How does it work? I mean, is there, because maybe they've never done it before. They don't, do they need a patent? Do they not need a patent? Do you advise them whether they need a patent on the design? What's the process so that the idea person, the inventor, I guess, can protect they're back as you're going through the development process?
Yeah, really great question. So to your point earlier, you know, a lot of people come with just the original idea. So we try to talk them through. And of course, you know, the product development process can be very harrowing for a lot of people, even people in the industry. It's also very harrowing. So, you know, it's not a very easy process. So what we usually try to tell them ahead of time is, after looking at their idea, we talk them through just some of the basics of what it takes to develop the product. And in terms to your point about protection, we do encourage them to get at least a provisional patent for their idea. Start off that way, develop it. And if it gets to a point, you know, a year later or whatnot, that they have the funds that actually is going somewhere and it is engineering and marketing retail wise feasible for them to sell, then we can go to the next step of talking about a real patent application. You know, what we try to do is we, coming from a background where we've been so trained and ingrained to, you know, maintain costs and to make sure that we don't have make people overspend on the money that they have. Because, you know, some of these people, you know, a lot of these people are hardworking people, and, you know, every dollar is important. And we tried not to look at them as a dollar sign, but as someone who has an inspirational idea. And so at that point, we try to kind of take it step by step to make sure that they're both protected and what financially makes sense for them, instead of just dumping it all on them from the get-go.
Yeah, it's such a great approach, Rex. You're known for it. The people at Invent are doing a great job. So let's break it down. Somebody has an idea. They come to you. You know, they talk to their brother and their sister, their aunt, their uncle. Everybody thinks it's a great idea. But then they come to you. Do you ever say to yourself in your mind, I'm not really 100% sure. I love this idea. And if you have that sort of thought process at Invent, you share that with the potential entrepreneur to let them know sort of where you're standing with this idea concept?
Yeah, good question. So in terms of whether or not a idea is feasible from a sales and retail point of view, we highly encourage them to do that research, because, you know, it's not necessarily you know, our place to give that opinion, because what if we're wrong and, you know, it actually becomes a big hit. And that has happened. You know, we would not want to rob someone of an opportunity of a lifetime of their idea. Cause you know, we all know that their idea is their baby and it is their baby and every idea is unique. And so in that sense, we highly encourage them to go do that market research to find if they're willing to take this commitment. And to your point about the process, someone calls, they have an idea. They say, hey, idea is so-and-so. I would ask, do you have any, I'll go down the development life cycle and I would ask them, hey, do you guys have a design? That would be the first one. If they don't, we can design it for them. And we can go through the many steps. After that, if they decide they still want to continue, we go into the development phase, which we send it to our engineers. And then we start going over dimensions. We start going to size, to cost, feasibility. After all that is wrapped, then we start to create a prototype. Once the prototype is done, and actually I do have a sample here to show you later if you want to see it. Once the prototype is finished, then comes one of the larger milestones, which is to actually open a production tool. And as you may already know, a lot of these production tools are not cheap. I mean, they're for, of course, mass market runs, but they can run, depending on your product, anywhere as low as, you know, five digits to as high as six figures easily. And it just depends on what your product is. That's usually the hump that most people have to cross or jump over. Once they jump over that, then we go, of course, into the post-tooling, the final engineering, ready for shipping, sales, agreements, all that kind of stuff. So that's typically the process from development all the way to shipment. Usually the clients will already have their own shipping and distribution channels and setup already there. So we just usually just ship it from whatever manufacturing country to them. Sometimes they'll ask us for more, but that's usually the process.
Yeah, it's a fascinating process. It works for you. It's worked for so many companies that have reached out to you. And you know, you mentioned something that it's not really your place to let them know whether it's going to work in the retail market. And that makes sense because no matter how much expertise one has, they miss on products. I mean, we think about Shark Tank, right? We've interviewed a number of people that have been on Shark Tank, affiliated with Shark Tank. And one of the big misses, of course, was that Ring video doorbell that the sharks missed on. And they didn't think it was really going to go anywhere. And here it is, you know, bought by Amazon. And you never, ever know until you put your feet on the ground and you figure it out. Now, Rex, you mentioned a prototype. We'd love to take a look at that on the show. You mentioned you have one. Why don't you show it to us and tell us what it's about?
Yeah. So we kind of, you know, as product people, designers, you know, people who just make stuff, we get really excited about different things, you know. It's amazing that in my many years of working in the industry, you know, that I still see the look of joy on faces of each designer when they design something. And it just kind of tells you that, you know, at least for me personally, that sometimes when you get so caught up in just churning out stuff that you kind of forget the reason why we do it. So let me give an example. I don't know if I'm going to work this sharing screen right, so I'll just talk through it. So, you know, I'm a avid LA Dodgers baseball fan, and you know, we wanted to make something kind of like an homage to Clayton Kershaw, you know, and so you know, we took images that we found online of just his various poses while he's pitching and just doing what he does best, and going through the process. We developed or just kind of prototyped just for ourselves a sculpt of his face for a new type of figurine. We haven't actually really pitched or sold it heavily. We just kind of did it internally by ourselves. But here you can see, I don't know if you can see this. Can you see his face?
Wow, it's so good.
Yeah, so here's my hand size so you can kind of get a gauge of it. You can see the amount of detail. So yeah, this is kind of the stuff that we do. It's not just that. There's other things I would love to show you, but they're in shipping and they're not marketed or released yet. So, you know, we can't announce, but kind of to what you're saying too, like there's a few things coming out that we've done for AMC, you know, Walking Dead. There's one recently coming out that we're doing and just a whole lot of stuff. So we're really excited.
Yeah, I love it so much. And of course, the action figures, you know, the superheroes, the sports stars. I mean, everybody loves to collect those figurines of their favorite star. If I'm a young man or a young child or a young woman, of course, I want to collect whatever I can collect because it's so fun to have those figurines around, especially if I have a passion for it. What are some of the superheroes, Rex, that you and your team at Invent really, really love? Are there certain superheroes that you just love to sort of look at and see what the creative looks like in your minds?
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow, that's the list is endless. I mean, people love them all. They love Star Wars. Some people are avid Star Wars fans. Some people are, you know, Team Marvel. Some people are Team DC. Recently too, Dune came out and some people are really into, you know, Dune. They followed, they read the books. They've been following it. Got super excited when the movie came out recently, the remake. They love them all. I think even actually also too, just jog my memory, gaming statues, you know, we've done, in my previous career, I've done some work with, gaming studios. And, you know, of course, you know, gaming is a huge, huge industry and huge market. And so there's, you know, for a long time, there's been a lot of interest in collecting, not just action figures, but those collectible statues as well. I mean, you've seen, I'll give an example, like, you know, Far Cry 6 has come out and, you know, the main character was on, you know, Breaking Bad, and there's a statue of him, and the company did that great, did amazing work. So, there's just so large of a plethora of stuff. But yeah, you're right. Action figures, collectibles, you know, there's so many fan favorites. It's hard to even keep up.
It's incredible. It's such a burgeoning business. Everybody loves it. And this gaming space is a huge business. We don't even know how many zeros at the end of one. Could be 100 billion, could be moving toward a $1 trillion business. It's definitely a mega trend. Now, Rex, when we think about a great idea, okay, an idea is nothing unless it gets produced. There's so many ideas out there that just fall on the floor. Isn't it true that people who are idea people, they need people like you, experienced project and business managers, to help nurture those ideas along? There's some idea people. There's some people that can get it done. There's a few people that can do them both. But in the most times, at most times, the great idea people need people like you to pull it off, right?
Excellent question. Actually, this is kind of one of the heart of not just my business, but also in development. Yes. So the short answer is yes. There's a great marriage between, you know, people who have the ideas and concepts and people like us who, you know, have to get it through fruition. And I found throughout my career that, you know, it's kind of, I'm not sure if this is correct, like left brain, right brain-ish, but kind of like illustrating the difference of thinking between the two, and both so like just equally important. I've worked with so many talented, very talented people in the industry, designers and whatnot. And I mean, some of the things that they come up with is just amazing. Like I've never would even thought of it. And then when they actually put it on paper, or I guess these days on, you know, on tablet, you just see the coming to life of the idea. And so, but the one thing that they need, and to your point, a lot of, assistance from our side is to kind of get it to, become real life feasible for sales. And as you know, everything is a business. So, you know, everyone has, you know, the margins or costs to maintain and whatnot to make it all, you know, marketable and feasible. So, you know, a lot of them who come to us with the ideas, we try to work with them to make sure that their ideas don't get too watered down. And the unfortunate reality is, to some degree, it has to get watered down to make it sellable, because of course, people will only pay a certain price for certain things. But we try not to water it down just from a strictly dollar point of view. We try to find ways and work with them in the middle to, you know, maintain a lot of what the original idea, but then to filter out things that, from a marketing point of view or sale point of view, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's so interesting. They need that expertise to help them get on track. And let's talk about the inventor's mindset. you know, there's inventors out there and there are people that just kind of tinker with things all the time and they can't get their hands off of things and they have their screwdrivers and they have their, you know, power tools and everything else, electronics. They started young maybe and they just love it so much. What's the inventor's mindset? Are they the people that you work with that invent an idea or they invent a product? What's their mindset all about? Are they focused in or are they a little scattered? You know, is there some generalization you can make about that? Because that's something that one of the viewers of the show wanted me to ask you.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a little bit of both. It starts off very scattered. And, you know, to be quite honest, because there's so much going in their minds and they're so excited, you know, they kind of do an off the cuff, like, hey, this is my idea. And they just talk to someone right away. Sometimes you'll get people who have sat down and methodically thought it through. But a lot of times it's just pure excitement driving this and totally understandable. There's a lot of innovative people out there. I'm sure you know, they want to bring this idea out and see it to fruition. Normally it's very excited and kind of, I don't want to say all over the place, but, just spurting ideas and not really filtered down yet. But, after a certain point that happens, it normally does. So it's a very common emotion and process and thought that most inventors have that I've found. It's just sheer and raw excitement for their product.
Yeah, I love it, Rex, so much. And of course, you have a passion for storytelling. I mean, you love to tell the story. Your clients reach out to you and you help formulate that story for them. I know you've got a great background, you know, a great experience. I think, your parents were immigrants, born in the United States. You were born in the United States, I believe, with a brother or a sister. But where does this come from, this idea that you love to tell a story?
Oh man, it came from my career. Coming especially from Disney, they're all about storytelling. And, you know, when we get designs or concepts, whether it's from the studios or from our, you know, cross-functional partners, designers, whatnot, they've done their due diligence parts in terms of the initial design and concepting and many, many months of planning. When we get the design in our hands to start developing, it's not only, of course, drawn out, but the whole concept of it was through storytelling. How does this product tell a story? How does this design tell a story? How do we convey a positive message through our characters and our stories to people that reflects, you know, our culture and our ideas? And so that's a lot of what influenced me in my storytelling. And to be quite honest, you know, not to discredit other companies at all, they had their own version, but no company ingrained it so heavily in their culture more than Disney did. And I guess for me, that was my most recent influence. And it really helped me to understand the power and the influence in such a positive way of positive storytelling, especially through product. I mean, you don't really see that as much or hear about that as often. But when you see, you know, how the packaging is designed, how, like, just say some, for example, the dolls for Frozen or any of the princesses, you know, the fashion dolls, you can see how they're posed and they don't, you know, they're not just, you know, straight rigor mortis or whatever. It's because they want to convey a story from the movie or from whatever lore that they had. And it really speaks to people, we find, and it really creates that connection between people and product. And, you know, we just, you know, products of course are functional, but they're not always, right? They serve other purposes too that you know, you don't always think about. And we want to make sure that we, you know, capture as much of that as possible, especially for our clients.
Yeah, Rex, it's so great. Of course, that psychological connection between people and product is very fascinating. It's one that you lead the way with. During your career, I mean, you've worked with so many huge brands, you know, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, Pixar, Razer, Chick-fil-A, I mean, Sony, so many different ones. When we think about it and we think about the younger entrepreneurs now watching the show, Rex, you know, they're saying to themselves, you know, I'm listening to Rex here. He's got a fascinating journey, but here I am with my startup business. Maybe I'm hitting a pothole in the road right now. Maybe I'm hitting a wall. Maybe I freeze in the frame. Maybe I don't know what to do. I'm hoping, based on your experience working with all these great brands and doing so well with Invent right now, that you could tell the younger entrepreneurs watching the show, Rex, what it takes to get through a tough time, what it takes to get through a pothole as a fellow entrepreneur and come out the other side feeling much better that you've gotten through it in a powerful way.
Yeah, that's huge. I guess the first advice I would say is to, you know, not give up. And of course, that's, you know, very cliche, but in the, with product, as we were saying, it's a large process that I would say that, of course, you know, the first thing that comes, you know, people always have the idea first before they think about the process. And, you know, through that, after you've had the idea, you know, think and do your research, of course, through what the process is. Talk to people like me or similar people that can at least kind of walk you through and some of the key things that you should at least prepare for. I would say, other than the design or the concept of the idea, you know, check for marketing feasibility. That's the number one. And then number two would be check your budget. You know, talk to somebody and keep those goals managed and realistic. You know, there's a big difference between selling, you know, on your own website versus if you want to sell to like a retailer, a large retailer. You know, there's a lot more requirements and expectations and money that's expected to do so. And of course, the rewards are larger. You know, something that you do want to really want to take on, whether it's, you know, selling it, you know, locally or, you know, smaller scale, I guess, versus a larger scale, you know what you're getting into. I found that a lot of inventors, when they come, you know, the idea is great. And actually, you know, there are quite a few that's great for our retail market, for mass market. But what they found that they might have either underestimated or overestimated their budget. And so a lot of times they've had to stop in the process. Now, seeing that that's happened, there is something, you know, we can't mention yet that we're working on to try to address this so that it would kind of take away this budgeting issue for an everyday inventor. Because that's usually what happens is it's money is usually what becomes the roadblock because of these high costs of just naturally developing things. So there is something that we'll be working on sometime in the future to roll something out to kind of support everyone at a very affordable cost.
I love it. I can't wait when you roll it out. You know, we want to bring you back on the show. That's so exciting. And of course, Rex, I mean, you do so much. You can develop anything, sneakers or backpacks, tents, hardwares, puzzles, journals, you know, those highly detailed statues like the one that you showed, gaming statues, dolls, plush, you know, pets, everything. I mean, you're the guy. This is awesome. So if someone has an idea, reach out to Rex, reach out to the people at Invent. They'll take you down the path. They'll help you with the development. They'll help you figure out what you've got, how to get it to market. They're going to tell that great story. Rex has a passion for that using all of his background and experience. This has been a great interview. I'm going to bring you back on the show. I know you've got big things planned for people who are idea people and the inventors of the world. And we're going to bring you back on. I know you're in your phase of putting that together now. So once that gets released, I'd love to be the first to release that for you and sort of make that a big flash news report, because I know there's going to be so many people that want to hear about it. Rex, this has been a great interview. There's so much to unpack. We're going to bring you back on the show again. Congratulations on what you're doing at Invent. It's so awesome. You really are a standout with people who really need help with their ideas. So Rex, thanks so much for coming on the show. This has been awesome.
Thank you, Andy. You've been great. Thanks for having me on.